Over the next few days, we see Jesus teach us and demonstrate for us things that we really need, that he does for us, things that are absolutely necessary for our eternal lives, especially in our lives here on earth, in our relationship with God. And there's a necessity then for us as we consider the Lord's Supper and look back at the precursor, the forerunner. I'll be preaching on Exodus 12 tonight about the Passover, the preparation for what Jesus does on Maundy Thursday. Because in that event, God demonstrated to the Israelites, and he demonstrates to us as well in our celebration tonight, that you need the blood of the Lamb. So, Exodus 12. The Lord told Moses and Aaron this in the land of Egypt. This month is to be the beginning of your calendar. It is to be the first month of the year for you. Tell the entire Israelite community that on the 10th day of this month, they are to take a lamb or young goat for themselves, according to their father's household, one lamb per household. But if the household is too small for the whole lamb, then a person and his neighbor next door to him must select one, based on the number of people. Determine what size lamb is needed according to how much each person will eat. Your lamb must be unblemished, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or the goats. You are to keep it until the 14th day of this month. And the whole assembly of the Israelite community is to slaughter the lambs at sunset. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts and the lintel of the houses where they eat the lamb. The Israelites, in their situation in Egypt, were in slavery. They were unable to leave. God had sent his servant Moses to instruct Pharaoh to let them go. Pharaoh refused, and over the course of a while, God, through Moses, sent 9 plagues to the land of Egypt. You're familiar with those from your Sunday school lessons, the blood in the Nile River and the darkness and locusts and hail from heaven and so on. The first few of those plagues affected the Israelites too. You might remember. The later ones, we learn, did not. They only affected the places where the Israelites were living. And now there is a final judgment being brought on Pharaoh and on the Egyptians in order to deliver the Israelites. And God is preparing the people of Israel for this final judgment. And for whatever reason, and we can think of, I'll suggest a few reasons, God does something very unique and special for this last plague. He says, I'm going to take from this life the firstborn son of all the households in Egypt, and also the firstborn of all the cattle, and the livestock, and the animals. This is an all-encompassing plague of the death of the sons of Egypt. God says to Moses, you are going to be spared this judgment, but I'm going to have you do some things. Unlike some of those later plagues where God simply spared them out of his grace, he says, prepare a substitute for the sons that I would take from you. Prepare this lamb. This is the Passover meal. An institution that God set up. He said, I'm going to tell you how to prepare this substitute. You're going to carry it out. And you're going to do it my way. And he tells them how to do it. Because, and I think the reason being that he teaches us some things in the Passover. He teaches the Israelites that their choosing by God was not something that they naturally came to deserve. If it were not for what God had established in the Passover, he would have carried out this death judgment against them as well. And if there were any Israelite household, we don't learn that this was the case, but if any ignored Moses' instructions and ignored the Passover meal and its preparations, and most importantly, the blood on the doorways, then they would fall under judgment. They would be lumped in with the Egyptians. But God set them apart by his choosing and his grace. He said, I will prepare for you a substitute. This lamb. And what kind of lamb? Very important to Notice what kind. Your lamb must be unblemished. It must be perfect. We might translate that in more common understanding. It must be perfect. Not only perfect, we learn later in the chapter as well that none of its bones must be broken. This is part of it being perfect. There must be nothing wrong with it. It's a male to take the perfect place of the firstborn son of the household. They were to keep it until the 14th day. They were going to bring it into their homes for several days to take care of it, to be with it. And then on the 14th day, its blood is spilled. Of course, this Passover lamb is picturing for us. Not only is God teaching the Israelites that he is choosing them out of his grace. They didn't earn or deserve anything from him. If it were not for his choosing, they would fall under that judgment. He's also picturing for us the salvation of the whole world. He's picturing for us Jesus. Because Jesus becomes for us this Passover lamb. This sacrifice, not a sacrifice that we prepare in any way. The Israelites did something. God instructed them. He came up with the idea of the sacrifice of this lamb. And they carried it out. But it was all in service of one final sacrifice, not an animal to substitute for a man, but Jesus to substitute for all mankind. And just as this Passover lamb was to be perfect and unbroken, Jesus too is perfect and unbroken. We need this blood that Jesus offers us. And it's important to note too that Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper on the Passover meal, and he substitutes his own body for the meat that was eaten in the meal. Jesus says, "This is my body, this is my blood." The blood of the lamb was spilled and painted over the doorway. The meat of the lamb was consumed. And Jesus, on that last supper with his disciples, says, this saving meal, this deliverance of the Old Testament, which they repeated again and again, and brought to mind this deliverance that God had done in the past. Now this meal is me. Now this meat that you prepared in this Passover meal is my flesh. My body offered to you in this bread. The blood of the lamb, which caused God to pass over, is now offered to you to take in, to drink, to be made a part of you. It's a far greater meal that Jesus institutes, a saving meal, just as the Passover was indeed a saving meal. So the Lord's Supper is a saving meal, and you need it because of your sins. You need it because without the sacrifice of blood that Jesus poured out, you too would fall under the judgment of the angel of death, very much like the Egyptians fell under. This Passover meal is gone. It's fulfilled its purpose. Jesus has fulfilled it and taken its place, and he's made it far greater than it ever could have been. The context of the meal of the Passover is very worthwhile to think about how it looked and all the households getting together and God really treating a household as a unit. There was one individual in that household who was saved directly, and yet the meal was for all of them. The actions of that household were God treating them as a family. However, the host of that meal then was the father of the household, or maybe the father of a few households, as we heard. There was provision for those smaller places. But for the Lord's Supper, there is one host and one household, and one sacrifice, and one meal, and one body, and one blood. And so in the Passover, or in the New Testament meal, in the Lord's Supper, no longer even individual households, even as much as those were groups of people that were getting together and being unified. Now all believers and all those who receive Jesus' body and blood are united in one house, in one place where God sees not the blood of an animal, not the blood of a lamb, but the blood of the Lamb of God, the blood of Jesus, not just painted on a house, on a lintel, but in your body and inside of you. And Jesus, and God looks in you and he sees his perfect Son, because he is making you to be one with him in this meal. You need this blood also, I'll skip ahead a few verses, you need it for a sign for you. This is what the Passover was as well. He says, the blood put on that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt. I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both people and animals. Against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. There will be no plague among you to destroy you when I strike down the land of Egypt. This day shall be a memorial for you, and you are to celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you must celebrate it as a permanent regulation. The celebration of the Lord's Supper certainly delivers to us the salvation that we receive in various ways. We receive it through conversion to faith by the preaching of the gospel. We receive it at baptism. We receive faith in the promises of God. And yet God institutes a deliverance method of this salvation to be a sign for you in a way. It's real. It's Jesus' body and blood. And it's also a memorial and a sign to remind you. What was the sign meant for the Israelites? Notice it wasn't just for God to see, oh yeah, that's the household where my believers are. It's also for them to know that they were set apart from the perishing world that they were dwelling in. They were living in a doomed place, a place that was going to suffer the judgment of God. They required a separation from that. They required a reminder that you are not going to go through the same things that the perishing world is going to go through. The Egyptians were going to go through griefs and plagues. They needed a sign that would be something they would be spared from. And so too, the Lord's Supper sets you apart and is a sign for you to remind you and to assure you that you too are going to be spared from God's judgment in a world that is going to receive final judgment. When God looks down at this world, he sees sin. He sees sin in our hearts, unless we are covered with the blood of Christ. But he sees sin in the world as well. And he's going to bring calamity and plague. But Jesus in his body and blood sets you apart and calls you out of that perishing world. And he passes over your households and your hearts because of the blood of Jesus the Lamb, which you certainly receive, because of the saving meal instituted by Jesus Christ. So we keep this festival as a permanent regulation too. We keep the festival Jesus instituted, and we hold it in high regard because through it, Jesus comes to us and dwells with us and dwells within us. Because we really, really need it. We need to be called out of the world because we would love in our sinful hearts to be part of it and to be receiving the judgment if we're not for what Jesus does for us in the sacrament. We need it because without it, we can never be clean. But through the blood of Christ, Jesus does in fact cleanse our hearts of sin. And he forgives our sins. And he unites us with himself in one body, in one household, as one Lord and Master over us all. Amen.